All right, guys, welcome back to the Brunson Podcast. Interesting thoughts I've had today. So I'm going to try my best to dissect a lot of what I hope this podcast will eventually, you know, as I kind of talk about this, I hope it'll come out the right way. So I guess where I start is I asked myself the question, I've been asking myself this question for a long time, and it's something that I talked about a lot of people when we talk about happiness, because I think that that's really what we're all looking for at the end of the, as far as like, that's really what we're all striving for, is we just all want to be happy. And as I was considering what it means to be happy, I think happiness as itself is a very fleeting idea. We think that we want to be happy, but really I begin to wonder if that's actually what we should really pursue in life. And I'll explain this. So number one, I had this thought. I said, you know, what if I found out for sure that what I have right now is as good as I'm ever going to have? What if life never does get better? Because I think all of us, to some degree, we're always looking forward to going, man, you know, when I, at least for me, I'm like, okay, when I get married, then that's when life will be really good. That's when I'll really be happy. When I'm like, just raking in the big bucks, that's when I'll really be happy. Oh, no, it's when I have kids and I hold my children for the first time. That's when I'll really be happy. And then it's funny because I talked to parents who were saying, oh, man, when I can just finally, when the kids finally grow up and they're on their own, then I'll finally be happy. Okay, you know, maybe when the kids have their kids, I've got grandkids, then I'll be happy. You know, it's when I retire, then I'll really be happy. And some people really are happy, but if you think about happiness, I don't know anyone that's happy all the time. And so to try to be happy all the time, isn't that kind of an impossible task? Like, if that's the task we really give our brains, hey, your job is to make sure that we're happy all the time. I think it's kind of absurd, because I'm starting to really realize that being happy all the time is not the point. The point is to feel. The point of life is not happiness. Yet that's, I think, kind of the lie we've been fed, is that you have to do whatever makes you happy. I don't know about that. I think you do whatever brings you fulfillment and will allow you to experience the beautiful spectrum of emotions. You could not possibly understand true happiness without true misery, to some degree or another, right? I mean, there's just no way. So to think that we always want to be happy is really a very absurd idea. Now, as I've been thinking more about this, I went back to, is this as good as it gets? So I began to realize, all right, Brunson, if really this is as good as it gets, then what? Because I think I've never given myself fully permission to really experience full happiness, because I was always thinking, oh, life is going to get better eventually. And that's when I kind of have to give myself permission to be happy. Yet what I began to realize is that happiness is just one of the emotions. But if you want to be fulfilled, it's to take every emotion and every good thing and bad thing and optimize it. So if you are miserable, I think it's to rejoice in the fact that you are miserable. You don't have to stay there and wallow in it. That's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is that you say, interesting, I appear to be feeling a certain way. And you just observe it. You observe what you're feeling. You observe what life is around you. And as you observe it, I think that rather than expecting to be happy all the time or making that demand on ourselves, oh, I should be happy all the time, we just look back and just watch the sunset. We don't get picky and say, oh yeah, we want the sunset to be a certain color. We love the beauty of all the different colors. We appreciate the sunset because of the sun in the middle of the sky sometimes. We appreciate the sun rising because it was dark before. Right? It's the contrast that really creates the beauty. Not the individual thing. It's not the destination that makes the journey beautiful. It's the journey itself. And we all believe that to some degree, but I think that we forget it in our day-to-day lives and the expectations that we put on ourselves, especially with happiness. We think to ourselves, okay, I want to be happy all the time. And the only way for me to be happy is to pursue X, Y, and Z, because that's what's going to make me happy. So what we think is, oh man, if I just had a nicer car, then I can be happy. man, if I was just making a better income, then I could be happy. If I just got that job promotion, then I could be happy. And I think that you have to consciously, and that's what I'm starting to realize, you have to consciously deal with those emotions, because if you don't, they will destroy you. They will completely bog you down. This realization that you just can't wait for the next thing to be happy. Now, it's a difficult balance, because on one end, I think that as we really experience the full array of emotions, our happiness is more rich, right? So if we really experience what it's like to be sad sometimes, and we just, rather than wallowing in it or thinking that our life is so unfair, we just go, interesting, and we just observe that we're sad, and we take the richness of being sad. And that sounds kind of like a weird thing, but being sad is a powerful emotion. And it comes with a lot of richness, and it comes with a lot of reflection. When you're sad, you reflect on things you wouldn't normally reflect on. That's what I have found. It's interesting. I've thought for a long time, like, man, it's so interesting that there's two extremely powerful sources of motivation for me. Number one is when I'm in love, and number two is when my heart's broken. Probably number one and number two, and I don't know which one's even stronger, right? I really don't. I don't know which one's stronger. But all I know is that when I'm really like feeling loved and appreciated and everything's going right in my life, I tend to just, you know, plug along and I smile. But the irony is that I remember one time so particularly, this girl ripped my heart out. Bless her heart, because I don't think she totally realized, but she really messed me up. And I just moped about it for a while, and then I completely, radically changed my life because of it. If I could go back and thank her, I think I would. Because even though she probably doesn't even remember me that well, she completely helped me change into who I became. And it's funny, because I was just some guy that kind of showed up in and out of her life. Wasn't a big deal for her. For me, it was this huge deal. And yet, from that, I learned so much, because I hurt so badly. I found, and it was an exquisite kind of pain. It's hard to describe. I think those of you that have really had your heart broken before, you can be like, oh yeah, it's an exquisite, like, there's a kind of a dull pain sometimes, and this one was more like a sharp pain. And the funny thing about it is it completely inspired me. I rethought everything. I rethought my character. I dug so deep. And something else that I've learned as well is how to heal correctly. And that's something I'll talk about here in a second. But as I went through this, I really changed. It helped me dig so deep. So again, going back, it's not about the individual emotion. Why do we single out happiness as the one emotion that we give ourselves permission to want to feel? I just want to be happy, and I'll do whatever it takes to be happy. But maybe that's, yeah, again, maybe we're missing the whole point. The point is to feel. So what is hell then? What is hell really? If hell is a state of mind, and I believe that, I think hell, and Leo, I think it was Leo Tolstoy or Dmitry Dostoevsky that said this, I think he said that hell is the inability to love anymore. And I'd even say a little further than that, I think hell is the inability to feel anymore. To not be able to love, to not even be able to really hate, just to be having a dull numbness. And I've been there in small moments where you just are numb. And if you talk to anyone that's really been through a lot, they're like, the pain was one thing, but then there's just this numbness that sets in. And you don't really feel anything. You just tune out. I have a long-held belief about this, that people are capable of becoming permanently numb. There is a point in your life, if you continue down dark path for a long enough time, you can actually more or less destroy your ability to feel. And that's why I think people can do a lot of the heinous things that they do. I think that's why people... I did a study into the Rwandan genocide in college. And I remember just being so fascinated. I thought, man, what happens in a person's brain to reach a point where you'd kill your friends and neighbors? How does that happen? But I realized that people are capable of becoming so desensitized that they lose the ability to feel completely. And that is hell. That is the purest definition of hell that I can think of, is to be unable to feel anymore. That is hell on earth. And so with that in mind, I think that we have to do two things. Number one, we have to stop demanding of ourselves to always be happy. We have to stop putting that expectation on our life. Expectations can be very damning. expectations that you should always be happy, if that's what you think is normal, if you look at social media and look at the highlights of everyone's life and going, man, everyone's happy all the time. And I'm not saying anything new. You guys have heard this speech 1,000 times. Oh, you don't scroll through social media and think that everyone's like that. I get that. But seriously, if that's how we program our brain of, man, that's what life should be like, is always happy, always a smile, always traveling. I think like if we had like an intellectual conversation, you go, oh no, I mean, I don't actually believe that. I'm sure you have to cry sometimes, but we don't actually believe that on an emotional level, I think. I think we say it, but we don't really believe it. We believe, no, normal should be happy all the time. We should always be happy. And I'm starting to think it's just a big misconception and maybe even a lie that we've told ourselves that we should always be happy. So I think that what I've been learning is to shift the focus from happiness to a beautiful symphony of emotions. You don't want to hear just one instrument when you're at an orchestra the whole time, right? You don't want to hear just one note out of the 30-something notes. You want to hear all of them played together, highs and lows, crescendos, I sounded so poetic there, didn't I? The decreasing of the music, whatever that crescendos and the other one. Those are, I think, what create that beautiful, beautiful symphony of different kinds of emotions. And I think once we remove that expectation from our minds and go, you know what? It's okay to not have a good day. It's okay to not be happy today. It's okay to be blue. I don't think you want to wallow in that. And that's what I'm going to emphasize. You don't want to wallow in certain emotions. I think you don't want to wallow in happiness either and be like, oh, I don't want to do anything. I'm happy right now, so I don't want to change anything. I don't want to take any risks. I don't want anything to change, so I'm just going to try to hang on to this happiness. You almost suffocate it. It's like you're killing the goose that lays the golden eggs. Let it happen. Let the emotions come and go, and rather than trying to control them and suppress some and exacerbate others, you just let it flow. And this maybe sounds so hippie, but I really think there's a lot of power in this. Now, the other thing that I've learned besides just learning to change my expectation about what's normal on my emotions and what I should be feeling is also to recognize that this is probably as good as it gets. Because right now I am not married, no kids. I have not made it in my career. I have not made it in my mission yet. And yet my life is beautiful in its own way. And what's going to happen is, right? And I'll back it up a little bit. I think that the things that I've told myself I should have in order to be happy is a nicer car, because I'm driving my 2002 Jeep Grand Cherokee that started, just went out, and I had to fix that. So I'm like, oh man, I mean, if I just had a nicer car, I mean, then it would be like a lot easier to be happy all the time. I'm thinking, okay, if I was married, oh yeah, because if I was married, then she would just be this probably literally perfect human being who never did anything wrong, never made me upset ever in my life. So then I'd be happy. Oh, then my kids will also be angels, by the way. I mean, they'll just always do everything just right. There will never be such thing as a sleepless night where the baby's crying all night. Like, you know, it's really weird. We deceive ourselves so frequently with all these different expectations of the future or sometimes the past. Oh man, when I was a kid, life was just so simple. You know what I mean? Like everything's taken care of. It's just beautiful. It's magical. And I'm not that way, but I have friends that are. I think a lot of people generally tend to either live in the past or the future. And the rare ones, the ones that really, I think, do experience true happiness. When I say true happiness, I'm talking about the emotion that we think of happiness. But true happiness to me is the full array of emotions. That to me is true happiness, where you feel all of it and you just experience it, and you experience it with a sense of contentment. If you're having a good day or bad day, you just look at it and go, you know what? Okay. That to me is true happiness. But most of us live in the past or the present. Either we look back and say, oh man, I just wish I had, if only I didn't have a wife and kids, then my life was just so much, I was so much more free back then. It doesn't matter where we are. We seem to be so dissatisfied with the state that our life is in. And to realize that this is as good as it gets. I'm going to do a quick tangent here. There's a movie about that. I forget the name of the actor. I forget his name. But anyways, it's a great show. I thought it was really fascinating. It's called As Good As It Gets, I believe. And he's this guy with OCD, and he's dating this girl. And their relationship is just all messed up. Like, everything about it's wrong. Everything about it's not right. And, like, I think at the end of the movie, the conclusion, at least that I drew from watching, was what they're kind of saying is that life is just messy. And we often want the perfect relationship and the perfect job and the perfect situation and everything to just kind of perfectly line up and to work just the way it's supposed to. But that's just not, that's not reality. And so I think that rather than trying to force that on life, we just accept, oh, hey, this is as good as it gets. Now, when I say that, I don't mean to remove the expectations that we want to fight for a better life. But if you accept and go, you know what? If I can't be happy now and find joy now and find fulfillment now, I never will. If I'm always looking forward and thinking, oh, things will finally be right when X, Y, and Z happens, it's the only way that I can see to really find fulfillment. I don't want to use the word happiness right now because based on what I'm saying, but true fulfillment is only found, I think, when we deeply savor the moment and accept that, hey, this is as good as it gets, and anything else is a bonus. That's what I like about relationships is that, or healthy relationships, is when you're really in a healthy relationship, you accept that you single, and I'm talking because I guess I'm a single person, right? So it's more relevant to me, but for me as a single person, I think, okay, this is as good as it gets, Brunson. If you're not happy and fulfilled and satisfied and enjoying the richness of life now, you never will. You just never will, because it's always a pipe dream. It's always the grass is greener. But if you can find deep fulfillment with you where you are right now, then this person comes into your life. And rather than dating them because they're going to take care of emotional needs for you, you date them just because you enjoy their company, because you enjoy who they are as an individual, because you love them for who they are, not because of how they make you feel. I think most relationships are honestly codependent emotionally, in the sense that we expect other people to fix all that's wrong with us. We're unhappy. We're dissatisfied. We've got all these emotional demons, and we think, oh, if I just find the perfect someone, then I have permission to be happy, which is why I think a lot of people cheat on their spouses, which is why I think a lot of people end up in toxic relationships, which is why I think a lot of people stay in toxic relationships. It's because we think that it's someone else's job to take care of our emotions, yet it's our job to take care of our emotions. If we are able to find true meaning and peace and fulfillment and satisfaction and whatever, experience that beautiful array of emotions right now, then anything that happens after this is a bonus. And it only can increase and improve what we've got. But unless we're able to just find peace with where we are right now, find peace with the good, the bad, and the ugly, I think it's so, so hard to have anyone come into your life and to have it truly be a healthy relationship. Friendships, romantic relationships, it doesn't matter. If they become an emotional crutch, man, that's toxic. And that can really come back to bite you. Learned that the hard way. I keep learning it the hard way. It's just the unfortunate reality, I think. So with that, the last thing I want to talk about is healing right. This is something I talked to a friend about not too long ago, who had gone through a divorce. And I said, hey, man, you got to be so careful. Right now, you've got to be so careful that you don't associate the wrong emotions to how you heal. Right now, you've got an opportunity. Your body, your mind is kind of broken. It's kind of clawing for reality. It's clawing for truth. It's clawing for a way. The way that the brain works is when you suffer like that, your brain says, I never want to go through that ever again. So I will literally do whatever it takes to set up the right defenses in order to never experience that level of pain again. The problem is that very often the bone sets wrong. It's like if you broke your arm and you never went to a doctor, but instead you thought, no, that's about right, and there's kind of a crook in it, it's forever weakened. Whereas if you go get it set correctly and you get the right ideas aligned, the bones aligned correctly, it heals back stronger than it was before. The same happens with our emotions. When we go through something traumatic or difficult or painful, if we align correctly, like setting a bone correctly, if we align to the correct principles to really dig deep into, okay, rather than saying it was her fault or it was my fault or this happened or that happened. We say, what are the principles? What are the laws that are governing what happened? Rather than assuming that it was some, I mean, for example, I know people that say, oh yeah, she was super needy and that's why. And so I just have to find someone that's not needy, because that's really what caused all this collapse of the relationship. Rather, if they said, okay, what's the principle? The principle is, it doesn't matter. It's your responsibility to become the best person you can become. You can't control anyone else but yourself. So really, the best way to heal right is not to say, oh, I need to find someone that's not needy. You say, I need to become someone who can deal with a needy or a non-needy person. That's a principle. That, I think, is healing correctly. Don't blame yourself. Don't be angry at yourself. That's not healing correctly. But saying, I can control me. And I'm going to choose to adapt my character to grow stronger in my ability to deal with different kinds of personalities. Because at the end of the day, I say this all the time. I'm like, you know what marriage feels like to me? It feels like you're rolling dice. A lot of dice. And you just don't know. And you have no idea. And the dice don't stop rolling for another 10 years. And then you go, oh, that's the number I got. You have no idea. You have no idea the combination of personalities and how things will line up. But I do think you can control who you become. And if you become the kind of person who has rich character, true integrity, incredibly selfless, giving, grateful, you can be married to a lot of different people and be very happy. If you were egotistic and selfish, self-centered, and all you've got going for you is that you're funny, then you have to be married to a very, very, very specific person. Your friends have to be very, very specific people. Your business partners have to be very, very specific people. You see the difference, right? Is that if you control who you are and you work on your character, it doesn't matter who your business partners are, who your friends are. Maybe it doesn't matter is a strong word or strong phrase, but it becomes extremely less important, far less important, who you're around if your character is correctly aligned. So, coming all the way back around this big tangent. Healing right, I think, is a critical element to experiencing the full array of emotions. Rather than saying, oh, I just wish I was more happy all the time, we just say, okay, I'm not happy right now, right? Maybe it's just a bad day. Maybe things really went south in your life. And rather than saying, come on, just be happy, think more positive, just snap out of it, we just go, you know, it's okay. It's okay that I'm having a bad day. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to heal right. I'm not going to let this bad day let me become jaded or confused. I'm not going to let the bones set crooked. I'm going to continue to align myself to correct principles. And as I do, when I do have happiness, it'll be correctly aligned. The bone will be stronger next time. And that means I can really enjoy the happiness. I've seen this with a lot of people I know, that they don't heal right. Something happens to them and they immediately go into victim mode. People just pick on me. The life is just isn't fair. If only so-and-so got elected instead of so-and-so, then my life would be better. If only this country didn't do X, Y, and Z. If only my family didn't do this. If only my dad had been more supportive. If only my mom had never said that one mean comment. I mean, they go on and on about all these different things, and they heal wrong. They heal with the bone crooked. So what happens? For the rest of their life, that's always a delicate point. That's why people, I remember as a kid thinking, man, it's so weird how someone can just lose it. You know, have you ever been around people like that? You say the wrong thing and they just fly off the handle. That's because they didn't heal right last time something like that happened. Because they became jaded. They became critical and they're easily triggered by certain phrases, certain words. I've seen this in politics a lot. I've had people that they find out my political beliefs and man, they can go completely ballistic. I didn't even say anything. But they've become jaded because they've had negative experiences. They didn't heal right. And they became jaded. And that can happen to any one of us if we're not extremely diligent. I think that's one thing we have to be so careful to guard, is that we heal correctly. The only way to do that, I have to keep on saying this because it's so important, but the only way to heal right is correct principles. That's it. You might ask, what are correct principles? They are self-evident truths. There are things that are so obvious that when you dig for them, they just rise to the top. It's hard for me to explain, but it's similar to what I was talking about in relationships, that it's not about, I need to find someone who's perfect for me. It's, I need to become someone who's perfect for me. That's a principle, right? That is a principle. I think it's so self-evident. Every one of us can recognize and go, oh yeah, that's true. Like that's right, right? We sense that deeply. When you sense it deeply and you can find it across any culture, any people, and it seems pretty timeless, that's a principle. How do you approach life? With gratitude. That's a principle. Why? Because it's so self-evident that that's the correct way. Deep gratitude, it applies to any situation. It's not a one fix wonder where it only works in certain situations. Gratitude always works. Focusing on healing yourself rather than trying to fix others always works, which is why it's a principle, not a method. Now, with all that being said, my quick recap is accept that this is as good as it gets. Go there emotionally and say, you know what? If nothing ever got better from here, if I never got all those dreams made and all that happened, could I still find peace with it? And if you can't, keep working until you can. Go to the place emotionally and be like, I'm at peace knowing this could, that truly this will, maybe it'll never get better than this. And plan on that. And then when it does, and it will, be pleasantly surprised and go, man, what an amazing bonus. Oh, kids, what an amazing bonus that just makes my life even more rich than it was before. Man, retirement, what an amazing bonus. My life is even more rich than it was before. And then another point too is accept that happiness is not the core emotion. That the point of life is not to be happy. The point of life is to feel, to experience, to learn, to grow, and to truly just live the full array of human emotion, not just the good. And thirdly, when you do go through those dark times, rather than trying to fix it and snap out of it and just force yourself to be happy, force that smile, just accept it. Just roll with it. Don't wallow in it. And heal right. That's my little sermon for tonight. It's almost 10 o'clock. Jeez. I thought about this literally for so long today. It really hit me super hard. It's something that, it's funny because sometimes ideas will, I mean, everyone has this, but especially for me, it lingers in my brain for sometimes months. And then one day it all comes together and I go, that's it. That's what it was. And for me, it was realizing those three things as a combination. Going, man, that's really it. I force myself to say, you need to always be happy, Brunson. It's all about happiness. Happiness is the key. Happiness is the most important thing, but I just don't think it is anymore. I might change my tune here in 3 months, but for right now, that's what I've got. And it was the funniest thing. Once I hit that point, this is as good as it gets, I just had to run, okay. And it was funny. This is what happened. I was on the trampoline, right? It's funny. I do this thing. We have this square trampoline it's a big old thick frame on it. And I literally just walk around the frame. And it's kind of like, you know, it's a bit of a balancing game, but I'll walk around it literally 30, 40 times sometimes. And kind of during my lunch break, I just was just around and around and around. And the funny thing is I paused and I realized, I love the feel of the sun on my face on a cold day. And it was just beautiful. It was like, I almost got emotional about it. I'm like, man, what a beautiful, beautiful feeling. Because earlier that day, I was just like, man, I just kind of feel off. And I was in this mode where I was expecting myself to be happy. I was like, I should be happy. Like, so many things are going right in my life. Why am I not happy? Happy, happy, right? And then realizing I don't have to be happy was just a super powerful thing. For some of you going, oh, obviously, like I learned that. But for me, this was kind of revelatory. So with that, I felt much more grateful. I feel much more connected. And I feel much more at peace when I'm not having everything go perfectly right in my life. So I'll give you the update here in probably a few weeks and I'll tell you if that's still the way I feel. But so far, that's really what this connection point was for me, was realizing that. With that, my friends, I wish you all the best. I hope this is meaningful. Go out and read a book. That's my advice of the day. I've been reading a lot of books lately and I'll tell you what, it's just magic. Great book is A Million Miles in 1,000 Years. I'm almost done with it. Highly recommend. With that, my friends, until next time.